they're making their way out, if you would, turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 today. We'll be looking at a sermon titled Dead But Alive this morning. Dead But Alive. Wanted, dead but alive. I can't help. I had to get it out of my system, okay? That's how my mind works. I get a song in my head and I might as well go ahead and get out. That's not a good song, Sadie, I know. Dead but alive. I want us to know, last week, Paul finished up chapter 5 and he was talking about the super abounding grace that our God lavishes upon us and how he talked about when sin abound, verse chapter 5:20, moreover the law entered, the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So he's talking about this as ever super abounding grace that was put and accounted to our lives. And so when he's preaching, when Paul's preaching about grace and the great work of grace, especially this superabounding grace, he has to be very careful because he understands if we're not careful that some people will take the abounding grace of God as a license to sin. You say, what are we talking about? We'll look more about that as we get into 6. But this idea that, hey, we can sin. It's all right. God will forgive us. Hey, we have that today. Have it sitting right here in our own church. It's okay if God just, he'll forgive us. And so we're guilty. I'm guilty, okay? I'm guilty of rationalizing the grace of God. Guilty of that. And so I want us to think about, as we get into this, that, and as I was studying it, is this whole idea that he mentions there in verse 1 where he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And that's what he's speaking about, that question. He knew people would say, okay, if this sin, if this things that go on in my life bring this superabounding grace, then why don't we sin more so grace will abound more? You say, well, people don't think that way. Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, yeah, we do. And so he's going to answer that question. And so let's stand on our feet today and honor God's word. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and through 14. I won't read all 14 verses, but I want us to look at the beginning at this question. The Word of God says, Romans 6, 1 through 14, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray. Father, for a few moments, thank you for your word. Thank you for everybody that's here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll speak to me. Hide me behind and through me, through the cross. I pray you'll hide me behind the cross and may your word go forth for your glory in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want us to think this morning. Rasputin was one that believed this way. He was the priest of the old Romanov family, and he made this statement. It said, it's our religious duty to sin because when we sin, grace and glory come. You say, what kind of thinking is that? You know, we're justified sinners. So what does it matter? We read that. There's no condemnation before the Lord. That's our memory verse for this month. So if we're not going to ever stand condemned before Christ, what does it matter if we sin or not? It's all covered. You say, well, I would never verbalize that, but our life often plays that out, that kind of thinking. And so as we get in, I want us to think about some principles this morning. Let's look at three principles in being dead but alive this morning. The first is our relationship in Christ. So we just read 1 through 5. And let's read that again. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I want us to think about our relationship in Christ. And Paul's speaking about that union that we have. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have union with him. Together, we are in Christ positionally. And he keeps talking about, if you look, he keeps mentioning this word. We can know this. We can understand it. Look at verse 3. He says, knowing, or do you not know? And then in verse 6, he says, knowing this. Verse 9, knowing this. So this is something volitionally we can understand. We can know this union that we have in Christ. Not only does it change us spiritually, but it changes us completely when we're in this union with him, when we are in Christ. And so he makes this idea and he uses the metaphor of baptism. A lot of us are confused about baptism, what it is and what it is not. And we always have a class. We always meet with those that are being baptized so we can help them to understand. Baptism is not a part of your salvation. Baptism is a testimony of what has already happened in your life. And so he's going to use that metaphor. It's important. We see that. It's very important. But I want us to see that what it represents, what it is that it is in our life, this union. We're being identified now. It's our public testimony when we see people, whether in the river or up here in the baptistry. It's everybody there. You know what they're publicly testifying to? I have been in union. I am now in union with Jesus Christ. And you see, we as Baptists believe that immersion, in fact, baptismo is what's used in the Bible, means to immerse. We believe that's the best form of baptism. It shows the death. We're dying. We go below the water, but we're raised again in the resurrection of new life. And so that's what baptism is. It does make us more saved. It's our testimony of what has happened in our life. And so Paul's using that, this metaphor of baptism, he's showing it's our identity and union with Christ. We're identified with him. In fact, he says in verse 5, we're united. What does it mean? Bound together. We're together now. And that word's actually a horticultural term. And it's actual union with Christ. I love Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we hear that Ephesians talks about a whole lot, which by the way, and I know that reason I mentioned Ephesians, I thought about Lee. That's one of his favorite books. Him and Sherry and some of the youth are going down to a D now, and I meant to mention him to pray for them as they travel back. But Ephesians, in one of his favorite books, talks always about a putting on and a putting off, that we put off the old man and we put on the new man. And so when we get this united with Christ, it's this putting on of the new nature. Listen, the old sinful nature is done away, or we know that the residue stays around, but Christ, it was replaced with the new nature of Christ and the Holy Spirit that comes within us. And we'll see in next chapter that there's a struggle that goes on continuously. We'll see Paul talk about that in chapter 7. You don't want to miss that. But it's this putting on and putting off. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, listen what it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, having all been made to drink into one Spirit. You remember Paul's dealing with the Roman church, and the Gentiles and the Jews are constantly conflicting about what's the right way. What Paul said, listen, we're all in the body of Christ. You understand, listen, it doesn't matter what's over the door of the denomination. If they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and His sacrifice and atonement, if they believe that, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a hard time with that sometimes. Paul's letting us know, hey, we're all baptized into one Lord. Are we going to agree with all the other stuff? Not all. A lot of them we're not. But I can agree with my brother and sister, if somebody's come under the blood of Jesus Christ and he's their personal Savior, that they're our brother and sister in Christ. And Paul's letting them know that. We're a part of Christ. And you know where our spiritual history began? Where did our spiritual history begin? We saw last week about where our sinfulness began with Adam. We all sinned in Christ. Where did our spiritual history happen? It happened on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where our spiritual history begins. When we understand that He shed His blood for us, that Christ paid the payment for our sins, and we ask Him to forgive us and we repent of our sins, our spiritual history starts at the cross of Jesus Christ. And we when it goes forward from there. We sin in Adam, but in Christ we participated in His death when we are united with Him. And He'll flesh that out more in just a minute. We died with Him, but the Scripture says in verse 3 and 5 that we resurrected with Him too. Galatians 2:20, which is my life verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. There's a part of me, listen, that was crucified the old sinful day. And when I came to that point in receiving Jesus Christ, it was crucified. I died today. And that's where he talks about, if any man come after me, what does he say? He must deny himself, take up his cross, the instrument of death, and follow me. Who is it that I'm crucified? Me. And daily, I have to fight more against myself all the time. Paul said he's been crucified. We died with Christ, but also we've been raised with Christ. I love that. A lot of times I'll say, buried with Christ in the likeness of his death at baptism, raised anew to walk in life. And that resurrected life also in Colossians 3:1 says, if we were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So when we're walking in this newness of life, would you say that there'll be a change? Yes. Why? Because, listen, we don't think the same. We don't act the same. Why? We're united with Christ now. And so it is our life's goal to understand Him, live by His principle, to please Him. I don't have to try to please Him to be saved, but because I am saved, I do want to. He is the master and commander of my life now. I have a new master. It's Christ. And so I want to please Him. He said, we died, but we've been raised to new life. In Christ we can live, not in subjection to the sin of ourselves in our life, but in subjection to the risen Lord. He's now my new Lord, my Master. And I want to please Him. And I know a life that I used to live does not please Him. But something happened. The Holy Spirit came inside, and it changed me, and now I want to please Him. I want to live for Him. Paul says, man, that's why we live. We've been crucified with Him, but we're living for Him now. And so we're resurrected to walk in newness of life. That's our relationship in Christ. But secondly, our freedom in Christ. Are there freedom in that? You better believe there is. Not a license to do what I want to do, but a freedom to live knowing that I'm not condemned before God. It frees me up, not that I'll live like a grinder monkey and just do whatever He's wanting to say, but it frees me up that I want to bring glory to Him in everything that I do. Why? Because I have this freedom now. Death no longer haunts me, or I don't have to worry about the sting of death eternally. Our freedom in Christ. Look at verses 6 through 10. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him, for the death that He died for sin, to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. What's Paul saying? He's describing the practical outworking of being in Christ. He says something, he talks about the old self. What was that? That's what we were. Do you remember what it was like to be lost? I do. The old self that he's talking about, he said we were crucified with Him, with Christ. And he talks about the old man. Well, what's the old man? That's the vehicle that the old self used. Okay? We were slaves to sin. Verse 6, slaves. Satan. The greatest con job that the devil pulls on people is when you talk to them about coming into a relationship with Christ. They start thinking about what they need to give up. Why? I've got to quit doing this. I've got to quit doing it. And when they think about what they got to quit doing, they're saying, you know, that's just no freedom in that. That's dull. That's no fun. All that. What they don't understand that they're the greatest slave, a slave to sin and Satan. And that's what's driving them, their own vices and lusts and sin. And that's the greatest bondage that man can ever have. We're in sin. We're our master is sin. But verse 7 said, but now we're freed from sin. When we receive Christ and He's paid that payment, He frees us up from the condemnation one day that those that don't have Christ will stand before the God condemned because of their sin. He frees us up from that. And we're free, free indeed, to live a life out, sanctified and holy unto Him. You see, we didn't just die with Christ, but we were resurrected with Him. We don't have to live our lives in subjection to sin any longer. You say, well, that mean you can be sinless? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you should want to be, though. I'm saying a personal sanctification, a walk. If I'm positionally in Christ, then that sanctification is living out what I am positionally in Christ daily. If I'm not growing, you've heard me say this, if I'm not growing in my walk with Christ, then what am I doing? I'm going backwards. Here's 2016 already, almost November. Are we any different in Christ from January 1st when New Year came in? Are we growing in Him? Are we making headway in being more Christ-like? Because Paul's talking about this freedom that we have when we've been resurrected in Christ to walk and to live in newness of life. Every day, a blessing anew. Why? Because it's a platform for us to live out Christ, no matter where you are. Where you're at. I love John Stott says this about this section of Scripture. Listen to what he says. For us then, it is like this. We deserve to die for our sins. And in fact, we did die, though not through in our own person, but through the person of Christ as our substitute, who died in our place and with whom we have been united by faith and baptism. And by union with the same Christ, we have risen again, so that the old life of sin is finished because we died to it, and the new life of justified sinners have begun. Our death and resurrection with Christ render it inconceivable that we should go back. It is in this sense that our sinful self has been deprived of its power, and we have been set free. He said, it's inconceivable. I don't know about you. But what do we have to go back to? When I think about my lostness, I can't even comprehend it. Praise God, going back and living in that way. Why? There's a new person that's moved in. Christ and the Holy Spirit is there. And when I think about the things I used to do, I'm ashamed and I can't even believe. How did I ever do that? And yet, John Stott's saying, how can we even conceivably go back to that? So this argument in verse 1 is ridiculous. If we live a life of sin and have no desire to move towards righteousness, you know what? We're not a believer. If you live in a life of sin and you have no desire to live in righteousness or grow in Christ, how can you say you're a believer when the Scripture says we are to grow in Christ? He's given us a litmus test that we need to check to make sure we have the right master. It's amazing how myself will cloak a lot of things. It'll cloak it to God's glory when it's really Dave's glory. We need to ask ourselves, are we growing in Christ? Understand a relationship with Him frees us to live a life to Him. What a great thought. A relationship, this union that we have when we're in Christ, it frees us to live a life to Him. Verse 10 says, for the death that He died, He died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. There's a difference when we're talking about this, a difference of time. It's a past event of death and a present experience of life. Of nature, he died to sin, bearing its penalty, but he lives to God, seeking his glory. And then of quality, the death once for all and the resurrection life that continues on. Christ paid the price that we can go forward. We don't have to battle. Where is our greatest battle? I don't know about you, but it's with sin and myself. But Christ overcame it. We can go forward and grow in the Lord daily. The Christian life, which is our union to Christ, begins with a once in a lifetime, once and for all death to sin, but it continues with this unending life of service to Him. We died to our sin and self when we met Christ. But we live continuously for Him daily. When I came to know Christ, I was united with Christ. My old life died with Christ to sin. Its penalty paid for. At the same time, I rose again with Christ, a new man to live a new life unto God. That's what we are. That's our freedom in Christ. And then lastly, I want you to look at our lives in Christ. Look at verses 11 through 14 as we're finishing up this idea. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. How does it work, Dave? How does all this work? Well, he uses this word reckon. Look at that. Now, we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. Reckon means consider. It's used 19 times in the book of Romans. It's a commercial term. It means add this to your account. Consider what's been done for us. God has added this to our account. We deserve death, but because of His blood, we receive life through Him. Eternal life. He says, reckon that as counted. We should, you know what? I've told you this before. You should rehearse the gospel every day. Every day of your life. Not just as this one time when I got down and I received Christ or I came to that point, but every day the gospel makes a difference in my life. Christ paid it all for me. I should consider that, so I should live for Him. Daily, daily living it out. Verse 11 says it's used in the... I want you to look at what verse 11 says. It says, listen, likewise, you also reckon yourselves as being dead indeed to sin, but alive to Christ. That word reckon that we just talked about or consider is in the present tense. It's constantly being taking account of this, what Christ has done for us and what's happened, by which He's added His life to our account, that He's forgiven us of our sins. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but we are to reckon ourselves alive to Christ. In other words, to put that, understand He put that on our record account. We must consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. You say, what's a good illustration of that? Well, listen, I'm a married man. That's my wife. I have a wedding ring on. Look, this is, I could actually take it off. It was swollen last week with poison oak. Imagine that. What does this symbol, what does it represent? It represents my marriage to Sandy. Now, could I live like a single man? Could I live like one and act like one? I could. I could live and act like that, couldn't I? But if I remember my covenant, if I remember and I see the symbol of my ring, that my marriage, then it should cause me what? I shouldn't act like this. I'm a married man now. I'm not to be acting this way any longer. Listen, when we come in this relationship with Christ, our baptism is our symbol unto Him. And we remember what Christ has done for us. I'm in relationship with Him now. So that means when I act like the world, when I act like things different from His Word, I need to remember these things that He's done for me, that I can, hey, that I can go back and say, Christ has paid it all. Lord, forgive me and let me go forward in Jesus' name. It's like sun shining out here right now. It's a beautiful day. And if I go out there and I walk around, I see a shadow that follows me. The reality is Dave Cooper. I'm here, but my shadow would be the reminder of the reality of what I am through the sun shining down, casting shadow. Baptism's the same way. I'm in Christ. My baptism is a shadow of the reality that's happened in my life. And so I'm to go forward in Jesus' name. And that's why Paul has used this. And he says, hey, does that mean then, as a Christian, that I can go on just living any old way I'm not? No, the reality is I'm in Christ. And I'm to be remind myself of the reckoning. I'm to consider what He's done for me. And I'm not to live the way the world lives, but I live the way that Christ has called me to live. Through what? Through the power that He's given me through the Holy Spirit. He's took care of it all for us. Why is it that we don't live in the power of Christ? Because we don't consider what He's done. We don't remember how He's changed us. If He's changed you, has He saved you? Has he changed your life? Was there a point where a new creature came on board, where you became a new creature in Christ? Because if he's done that, he continues to do a work in your life. We have died, but yet we've risen. How can we possibly live again to that which we've died to? How? Paul says we can. We can. And then I want you to see he uses the first action words in Romans where he says right here, therefore, he says, do not, after this consideration of what Christ has done and who we are in Christ, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Paul's saying because of these things, there's some action words. We don't use our bodies for the same things that we used to. We don't live in sin. You say, what are you talking about? It's that putting on and putting off. I put off the old man. I'm not going to, my eyes are unto him. My feet are unto him. I'm not going to look at certain things. I'm not going to act certain ways. I'm not going to go to certain places. Why? Because I'm in Christ now. My instruments do not belong to me, to sinful nature, but it belongs to Christ. Why would I want to take Christ to a place, some of the places that we think that we can go? Why would I want to look at some of the things that allows Christ to see those things? We don't think like that, do we? Our union with Christ. And when we consider it and we reckon it, it'll make our choices a little different in life. And the things that we do, even the good choices, we do them unto Him. Everything. Why? Because He's there with us now. My eyes, my feet, my hands, my body. Take them and use them. You ever say that? Take them. Use them, Lord. They're yours. Take them. You know what I want to do? What we should want to do is please Him. Please Him. Is that our goal? Or is it all about pleasing us? If we're honest, that's the struggle. We want to do what we want to do. We want to have fun. We want to have it easy in life. We never consider what does He want. Pleasing Him. Everything I do, does it bring honor unto Him? It'll make our choices a little different. So then he answers the question of verse 1 and verse 14. Look what he says. When he talked about, shall we keep on sinning that grace may abound? And look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. No, we don't keep sinning. No, we don't have a license to do whatever we want. We're free in Christ to do whatever. We're forgiven. I can drink, act, eat, go, do whatever I want. God will forgive me. Shame on us if that's the way that we live. When he's saying right here, for sin shall not have dominion over you. If I allow sin to reign in my life, it has dominion over me. He said, for you're not under the law anymore, but you're under grace. Because of that abounding grace that he talked about in chapter 5, because grace has been put and accounted to my account instead of what should have been, instead of death, hell, that should have been on that account, but the blood and of my gracious Savior and the life of a crucified Lord is on that account now, and I'll never stand condemned before a holy God. I should want to walk in the newness of life to please Him in everything that I do. At home, at work, at school, in the deer woods, watching a sporting event, everything that I do to bring glory to Him. See, law, and he talked about law there in verse 14. Law, remember what he said, it awakens us to sin. It shows us why we sin and what it is that we do that causes us to sin. The law did that. It awakens us to sin. But grace awakens us to life. You want to live? You want to truly live and experience life like God meant for you to be? Not the mully grubs, not wondering why it's so up and down, roller coaster. He's saying, understand that grace has been applied to your life and live in it to please God and Christ, your new master now, to go forward in Jesus' name. and live the abundant life. Why? Knowing that you can never lose that salvation. So I don't have to perform for salvation, but I live so that I can please my Master. Because one day when I stand before Him, I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, which I believe is going to be like this, to be honest with you. How can I ever stand before the Creator and Sustainer of the whole world? He's not going to ask me, Dave, how did you do, Dave? You got a big old house? You driving a Chevrolet truck? Which is top of the heap. How many deer did you kill? Did you get any big ones, Dave? He ain't going to ask me that. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you everything that you needed to live a life for me. What did you do with it? I'm not going to stand condemned because my sins are forgiven. But I'm going to give an account of what I've done with what He's given me. That's an abundant life when we are free to live in Christ. Not free to do anything I want to do, but free to live to a new Master and please Him. That's what Paul's bringing out in this. Let us continually consider ourselves, reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Jesus Christ. Rehearse the gospel every day. Nothing wrong with getting up saying, Lord Jesus, paid for my sin on Calvary. And whatever date, if you've got a date, February 28, 1990, for me, I'm really a young Christian. I remember that day, Lord Jesus, that you changed me. You put me on a different path. I wanted to do the things I wanted to do, but you saved me. Lord, thank you for that salvation. Help me to live that out today. You got to pray that as a preacher? You better believe I do. No different than you are. We have the same struggles. We get up and I have my thing, my prayer is, Lord, help me to live to please you today. Help me not to do anything to make a blot against your name. Lord, I know I'm capable of doing that. Help me to bring you glory in everything I do. And Lord, give me the opportunity to share this great good news with somebody today. Put somebody in my path. He'll do it if you'll ask for it. Then you got to look for it. Share what you've done for me just to give you glory. Applications and we'll be done. First one is, how are you living? How are you living? What does your life play out as we think about this in Christ that you've died to your old self and you're living resurrected? How are you living? It plays out. You can say all day long, oh, I love Jesus, yeah, I'm saved and all that, but what's your life look like? Your life plays out what it is. Is there marked sin in your life? You just live whatever way you want to and you never convicted over it. You never want to make things right. You just say, oh, God will forgive me. That's living in liberty, Christian liberty, saying this is a license to do whatever I want. I'm forgiven. Shame on us. That's what we think. Number two. Do you consider the great price that was paid for you so that you could be free? Freedom's never free. There was a great price paid that we could have this freedom. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that God sent His only Son, stepped on the earth as a man, walked this earth 33 years, died on a cross, cruel cross on Calvary, and paid the price for your sin, was died, buried, third day arose. You ever consider that price? God came to this earth to bear your sin and my sin. He could die for us. Can we not live for Him? And lastly, number three, how do these scriptures change your view of Christian liberty? Are you one of those Christians who just say, hey, God will forgive me, do whatever? Price that was paid that you could be free. It wasn't the freedom to do whatever you wanted to do because it was convenient, because of what you thought, not what God thought. Let's stand to our feet. Man, if you'll come play. A couple questions. Is Brittany to come and sing? When she sings, are you saved? Do you know you got a personal relationship with Christ? Are you in Christ? nail that down today. I promise you, there's no guarantee. Young boy died up here in the curbs on 194 last Sunday morning. Young boy. Oh, I got plenty of time. There ain't no guarantee you'll make it home today. And I'm not trying to scare you. I don't want to manipulate anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth is, you don't want to gamble with eternity. If you know and the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, I'm not saved, get saved today. No guarantee of tomorrow. What about, you know, your life? Hey, I've been living in this Christian freedom. I just do whatever knowing God's going to forgive me, and I really am not living a sanctified life, a holy life unto Him. I'm not saying, God, is this, God, does this please you as my standard? I just do whatever I want to do. What is it that God's speaking to you about? The altar will be open. Maybe there's a burden, a need that you just need to lay down and say, you know what? I'll no longer let this keep me from living the resurrected life because I cannot lay it down. Lay it down today and let Jesus take it from you. Whatever. When you start singing, don't hesitate.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
Do you surrender all? That's a big word to say. And to sing, do you surrender all? One more stanza. What about you? What is it the Lord wants from you? Answer in obedience. Listen, I love you. If walking an aisle is very far, but you know the Lord's speaking to you, your heart's beating, you know the Holy Spirit's wanting something from you, you see me after this service. Nothing I'd rather do than talk to you about the Lord Jesus in your life. Got a couple things. Got boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Don't forget the toys for the Awana. Got a clipboard going around for our fall festival. Get that signed if you ain't signed it up, because that'll be here quick. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Food and Fellowship. We'll be having a great time. 5 o'clock, we'll have choir practice. Kids, 6 o'clock, so there's something for everybody. Just come on back. Thank you for being with us today. I pray, go and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Live a life sanctified in Him. Do everything to please Him. I promise you that brings abundant life. Donnie, pray for us.